Today on the show, I talked to one of my favorite people in the world, Suzanne Mitchell. And Suzanne talks about a number of things. Sorry, gotta compose myself. I'm keeping this in too. Tips on how to celebrate her staff and her directors of WOW, how she went from hiring 25 teachers in 1 year to 20 to only 6 4 years later, why you shouldn't believe everything you hear, and how to leverage your leadership team to hold yourself accountable as a principal. I do not take for granted that you're listening to this show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
Hey there, Better Leaders. I am so excited today because I am joined by somebody I now consider a friend. We get to connect all the time in our school leader mastermind. Met her online through Twitter and this leadership sprint that we did. And man, I have learned so much from Suzanne Mitchell. And she is a principal at Selma Elementary. It's her fourth year. She's worn many hats from, you know, obviously teacher, instructional coach, everything like that. And I'm proud of her that she won the Johnson County Principal of the Year in 2015. If you go to the blog as well, we have a post on celebrating your staff, and she contributed some massive value to that post and has some really wonderful ideas. I hope we dig into it during the show about how to really recognize top talent in your people. So Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And she's from North Carolina, so her accent is nice on the ears. I will say that. I don't know. It's not like the Chicago Midwestern accent. So I'm going to love talking to you all day today.
Well, what accent? I don't think I have one, but if you say so, we'll roll with it.
Sounds good. Hey, Suzanne, what inspired you to pursue a career in education?
Well, I come from a long line of educators. My mother was a teacher. My grandmother was a teacher. And I guess it was just in the blood. I have always enjoyed playing school when I was growing up, much more than I enjoyed playing ball. My sisters were ball players, and I was the one with the chalk and the chalkboard playing school. So I've always knew I wanted to be a teacher.
Wheeling and dealing massive amounts of homework to your siblings and cousins and all that, I bet, at that age, right?
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
So if you have this great lineage of educators from your family, I'm curious, what kind of takeaways or lessons did you learn from them that really inspired you to pursue that career choice?
Well, I just think educators are the most important people. They open up worlds to children. I still remember learning to read and how magical that was for me, and how transformative it was. And I wanted to play that kind of role in the life of a child. My mother was very much someone who, you know, our motto is, well, how hard can it be? Anything that we wanted to do, her answer would be, well, how hard can it be? We'll just learn how to do it. And I grew up with that mindset. And so I really wanted to inspire other people to feel that way as well.
And you're definitely doing that. Maybe it's a good segue to talk about, you know, inspiring people and celebrating people. I mentioned it just in reading your bio, but you contributed a ton to that staff appreciation ideas blog post. We'll link that up in the show notes too. And I think you had the directors of WOW. I might be getting that wrong, but can you unpack that a little bit and some of the things that you do on your campus?
Absolutely. We are a high Title I school. About 90% of our students are on free and reduced lunch. And we had been having a lot of teacher turnover. The first summer prior to my first year as principal, I hired about 25 people. The second summer, I hired about 20. And I thought, we've got to stop this because we're not getting where we need to go because of the teacher turnover. So I talked to a couple of staff members who are natural encouragers. If someone has a birthday, they're going to be the first ones to decorate the door. You know, those kind of people are wonderful to have on staff. And so I called them in during the summer and just tossed this idea out about them becoming the directors of WOW. And they looked at me like I was crazy initially, but we fleshed it out a little bit. I really wanted something every month or more often that just made teachers say, oh, wow, that was cool. Or, oh, wow, that was a lot of fun. Oh, wow, I can't believe they thought of that. Because I really believe that teachers are so important and they don't get valued very often in the culture and society that we're living in. It seems like teacher bashing sometimes can be the national hobby. And I really wanted teachers to know how important they are and how much I appreciate the work that they do. So we sat down and we created a whole calendar of wows. Some of the things we did were tangible things, but a lot of them were experiences that we created to help people share some kind of experience that they could hang on to. And I think that's what builds a community around a school and creates a staff culture where people trust one another and they respect one another when they can experience things together.
What kind of experience did you all design that you are the most proud of?
Well, we have a couple that were really just wow. We went Christmas caroling to some of our neighborhoods, and they are maybe not some neighborhoods that people would venture out to go Christmas caroling, but we decided we were going caroling and we wanted to go into our neighborhoods near our school. And so we got a couple of flatbed trailers, and we've got someone with a stereo system, sound system. And we went through our neighborhoods on the early release day before we got out for winter break, and we went caroling through our neighborhoods. And it was just a beautiful thing to see parents and grandparents coming out and children to listen to us sing. And we sang some songs in Spanish and some songs in English because we have a high population of native Spanish speakers. And it was just a beautiful experience. For a lot of our teachers, it was the first time they had been through some of our neighborhoods. And so I think it was a wonderful way for them to see just how important educators are for our children. I really believe that what we do is life or death, and it's a big job and it's an important job. So getting to see our students in their home neighborhoods was really important. Another thing that we did was we built a lemonade stand out of old pallets and painted it white and transformed the whole teacher's lounge into a sunshine kind of thing, and had fresh lemonade for teachers on the first day of spring. We did a early release day, they thought they were going to the auditorium for professional development, which, you know, professional development can be some sit and get kind of things, but they were not really looking forward to it. But when they started heading down to the auditorium, there was a red carpet and movie posters, and we all went in the auditorium and watched McFarlane USA together, which is just an incredibly inspiring movie.
Wow. I'm saying it. That's great. I love what you did.
Yeah, wow. That's the kind of effect you want to have.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. We've done all kinds of things. We've done dessert bars. Last year before spring break, we transformed the PLC room into an Hawaiian tropical theme and had a smoothie bar, a fruit smoothie bar for everybody on that last day before going out for spring break. And just the laughter and the smiles on their faces. And it's just an opportunity for me as a principal to say, thank you. Thank you for making your life work. This, of all the things in the world that you could do, you chose this. And I want you to know that it's incredibly important. and I value what you do every day.
Yeah, that's a great way to express it. And I know people receive that because it's so genuinely communicated. I get the ice creams, the sundaes, the smoothies, the lemonade. I mean, that's for teachers watching the movie, right? But the Christmas caroling, they're actually giving back, right?
Right.
I'm sorry, what time of day did this occur?
We always have an early release day before Christmas break. And so we got out early, and I was really skeptical about whether or not everybody would stay to go Christmas caroling when the only thing that stood between them and their break was that caroling trip. But we actually filled up one trailer and had to get another one by the time the day rolled around. So we left the school around 2 o'clock and spent about 2 hours Christmas caroling through neighborhoods.
Yeah, and you know, I just want to unpack this all for listeners because, I mean, honestly, I want to basically copy so much of what you do and try to implement it myself. So I ask it for me, but you know, I know the listeners will benefit too. So you were out there for about 2 hours. When you're communicating this idea to the staff, is this during a staff meeting? Is it a memo, hard copy? Is it email? Do they know that it's basically 2 hours or, you know, generally this is what we're going to try, see how long it takes? But how did you communicate this and I guess solidify the volunteers that participated?
Yeah, we pitched it at a staff meeting and we immediately just had people interested in the idea. It is something that our school had done before, but it was about 10 years ago. So most of the staff that's currently there didn't remember that or weren't there when it happened. So there was a little bit of a precedence for that, but it hadn't been done in a long time. And so we just shared how affirming it would be for our kids to see us out there giving back and doing something special for them. And I let them know that we'd be done, you know, by 4, which is the normal time that they would leave in the afternoon anyway. But if they wanted to spend a couple of hours doing something that would really put a lot of smiles on a lot of families' faces, that I would love to see them there. And like I said, we had about 40 people sign up to do that. So it was an incredible experience. The other thing that I try to do is people enjoy reading success stories of other schools, but I think the most important success story is your own. And if you can help teachers connect with why they went into teaching to begin with, one of the things that I did with my directors a while, we picked students to be Selma success stories, and I would interview them and make a video of it. And they were short clips, 2 or 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe. Students who'd made a big change in the way they were operating at school. It might be that their grades had gone up a lot, or it may be that they had done a real behavior turnaround. And I would bring them up and just ask them a couple of questions, you know, let them know, wow, you've really made a lot of changes and I am so proud of you. And what led to this? How did you make this switch? And always, always the students will name teachers or staff members that inspired them or that took the time to see something in them. And I show those videos at staff meetings. They really aren't for the general public. They're for teachers to see. That's the power of a teacher. That is what you get to do every single day. And don't ever forget that power that you have to change and transform lives. And so I think helping people connect to that is so, so important because there's so much, for lack of a better word, red tape and paperwork in teaching that if you're not careful, you do lose sight of how important and valuable you are to the world. And so I think it's important as a principal for me to remind teachers of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, you're keeping them plugged in literally to what gives them the juice to do their job. And it's so easy to get burned out and frustrated by the machine, the red tape, all that, you know, the obstacles. But if you keep the focus on why they're in it and the direct result that they have on kids. I mean, that's why I love my job. I hop out of bed. It's a little bit slower now as I'm getting older, but you know, I still hop out of bed so excited to go to work every day because you get to see the impact you're having. There's no other industry or profession where you get that immediate, you know, feedback that you made a difference and changed, probably even changed someone's life. It's just, I guess it's a privilege, you know?
Absolutely. It is a privilege and it's an honor. And we do need to keep that in the forefront of our mind and not, you know, I tell my staff, there's nothing the General Assembly or anybody else can do to take that away from you. That it doesn't, regardless of what the pay is or what they're saying, this is the power of a teacher and this is who you are, and hang on to that.
Absolutely. So your school, you know, it faces some challenges. We were talking a little bit about, you know, where it's situated in student population. But in the mastermind, you talked about the incredible, I mean, just absolutely incredible student achievement you've seen because you've been working a system and have stayed true to it and haven't changed. Can you describe that system and what's been going on at your school?
Well, in North Carolina, we get school performance grades, and they're based on growth and proficiency. They're heavily, heavily weighted towards proficiency. But growth is a component of it. And for the past 2 years, our school has exceeded growth, meaning we've made more than a year's worth of growth in 1 year. So much so that for Title I schools with our similar population across the state, we are second in amount of growth made last year and the year before. There are about 40 schools across North Carolina that have the same Title I population that we do, and we're second in growth. If you take out the Title I component, we're also fourth in growth among schools that have a Hispanic Latino population that we have. So we're very proud of that, and that's not something that gets a lot of recognition because it's based on growth, but I'm of the opinion that the growth component is huge because not everyone starts at the same place in the race. And so growth is measuring where a student came in the year to where they ended the school year, which to me is as valuable as the proficiency. Our proficiency is not where we want it to be yet, but with continued exceeding growth, proficiency is just a matter of time. So we're excited about what's happening. We're excited about teachers that love working at our school and are proud to be members of our faculty, and holding on to those quality teachers is going to be a real game changer for us. This past summer, for example, I only had to hire 6, which is a long shot from 20 and 25. So I'm really pleased about that.
Yeah, that's incredible. So moving from 25 teachers 1 year, 20 to the next, and what I heard you say is 6, and this is over a 4-year tenure, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, you just can't argue with these results. And I've been begging you, saying, Suzanne, come on, you got to be on the podcast to talk about this stuff because you are doing some really magical stuff. I couldn't be more proud, and I'm just so excited for what you're doing.
Well, you know, if principals don't inspire their teachers, who is? We have really got to be the ones that let them know that we value them. It's sort of like parenting. Your children never really tell you how much they appreciate you until they're parents themselves. And so principals have to remind teachers of that. There's just too much to weigh them down. And so we have to be their champions. And I just think teachers are some of the greatest people in the world.
Definitely are. And I think, is that a possible book title, maybe? If Principals Aren't Inspiring Teachers, Who Is? By Suzanne Mitchell.
Maybe so. Who knows?
Maybe so. I love it. I've been going easy on you, so I got to ask this question. And I think, you know, failure and mistakes are such a great and profound teacher. So what would you consider your worst mistake, and what did you learn from it?
My worst mistake is probably believing everything I hear. I think sometimes people can, their perception of something I've taken to heart when that really wasn't the perception of lots of people. And I think I've just learned to ask more questions. And so I think taking things at face value and not asking more questions has probably been one of my biggest leadership mistakes. So I try to ask more questions now and get to the root of what's going on rather than the surface level, and to make sure that this person's perception is actually reflective of the group that they are supposedly communicating for. You can rush out and make some quick decisions if you don't ask enough questions.
How do you think you developed that skill to ask those questions to avoid believing everything you heard? How long did it take?
Well, that's taken a long time. And it's really been a matter of falling on your face a few times or reversing decisions that you had made based on what someone said, because it appeared to be reflective of a larger group of people, and then finding out that, no, that didn't really reflect everyone. It was basically the perception of a few. And so, you know, you learn by failing sometimes. Failure is never fatal. It's just an opportunity to reflect and think about, you know, why did I do that? How did that happen? And see, you know, the pattern. So it takes time, then it takes reflection.
And let's pause here for a message from our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You know, I'm just like you. I'm a school leader that wants to get better every single day, and that's why I created a free gift for you called The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. You can grab it today for free by texting the word UNLOCK NOW to 33444. That's UNLOCK NOW to 33444, and The 15 Questions to Unlock Your Leadership Potential will be delivered straight to your inbox. And now back to our show.
So I've never asked this question. I'm using you as a guinea pig.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. What would you consider the greatest misuse of time as a principal?
Email. Email is a huge waste of time. You can get sucked into the email zone and, you know, come out with your eyes glazed over, I think. At least that has been the biggest time waster for me. And that's something that our leadership team collectively is, you know, I've asked them to help hold me accountable to that. And because there are things that are much more important that we need to be doing.
So talk about that accountability. How do they hold you accountable with it?
Well, one of the things that we talked about as a leadership team, we feel like we're doing some things well, but we all agreed that the one thing that we needed to be doing more of is it being in classrooms on a daily basis. And we came up with, you know, a rotation plan. I have three assistant principals. And so we developed a rotation system for us to get in classrooms. I told our secretary to come tell me it's time for you to get out of this office. I'm out in the halls in the mornings when we're starting. And then if you're not careful, all those things that appear to be really urgent but that aren't important, to use Stephen Covey's, you know, quadrant there, you can get sucked into that urgent. So we're holding each other accountable. We have Friday meetings and we discuss what we've seen that week and where we think things are and how things are going. And it really helps because we're in the PLC meetings every Wednesday with teams. And so we get to hear their planning and their discussions about students. And being out there in the classroom, it just brings it all full circle for us. And so I'm really pleased that we've put that into place for this year. It felt like it was really the missing link.
So I'd like to dig into the rotation. Is how many APs are on the leadership team with you?
I have three assistant principals, and then I have a curriculum specialist.
Okay, so those four plus yourself. Mm-hmm. And
there's five of us, and we have divided the grade levels out. So every week someone is seeing a different grade level. We're kindergarten through pre-K through fourth grade, and we divided kindergarten first, second, third, fourth, and then we added in our English as a second language teachers, our exceptional children's teachers, our pre-K teachers into the rotation. So roughly every week we see about 10 to 15 teachers over the course of a week. And then we go to another grade level the following week. And then on our Friday meetings, we, you know, talk about how things are going, how did the plans we heard about on Wednesday, how did they look when we actually saw it in practice, and, you know, initiatives that we've started, how is that going? Because we're actually seeing it more up close and personal now.
Yeah, yeah. And how long does it take to work through the whole school, the whole staff, seeing 10 to 15 teachers a week?
About a month, 4 to 5 weeks.
Okay. So pretty much every month, mm-hmm. The teacher's going to get some type of contact from y'all.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody is seen every week because we're all somewhere. But for one of us, it would take about 5 weeks to get through the whole school. But there's five of us doing it, so everybody's being seen.
Okay, so yeah, I misunderstood that. Every single teacher is being seen every single week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they're getting feedback. So tell me more about like what you do when you go to the classroom and how you follow up afterward.
These are very informal walkthroughs. These are not formal observations. These are talking, you know, kneeling down, talking to the kids. What are you doing? Tell me about it. Share with me what's going on. Just, you know, pop-ins. We may be in a classroom 10 minutes. If we get, you know, if the kids are doing something and they want us to stay, we may be in there longer. But it's really just an informal pop-in so that we just sort of have our finger on the pulse of the school and how people are feeling and how kids are feeling and how teachers are doing.
Oh, that's great. Do the teachers get any type of feedback afterward?
Not other than, you know, we'll may leave notes. I may shoot them an email, that kind of thing. Just depends on what we saw and what we need to talk about. Sometimes the feedback's within PLCs. It gives us a way to share out ideas that we're seeing from their teammates. Some people are more open to sharing, and some people, you know, if you point out something they're doing well, that helps build some confidence and that kind of thing, especially if you do it in front of the PLC and their whole team. So that helps build some leadership capacity in other people as well.
Yeah, that's great. And the one thing I picked up, and this is from the mastermind too, shout out to Nancy as well, just using Voxer. We connect so much as leaders on Voxer, but I've adapted that to a little pop in 5, 10, 15 minutes. And on my way out, I just pull up the app in the My Notes section, record 15, 20 seconds of what I loved about the observation, and then send that through email. And within, I guess, about less than a minute, probably about 45 seconds, I have recorded, given some feedback, some things I love, maybe even a pointer to think about, and send it via email. And they don't even need the app. They can, you know, just click on the link and hear what I told them.
I love that idea. That is an awesome idea. I just introduced Voxer to our PLC leaders and got all of them on Voxer so I could Vox them, but I haven't thought about doing it staff-wide, so we definitely need to look into that. Voxer's a great tool for that. Thanks for the tip.
Absolutely, and we'll link up Voxer in the show notes too, so if this is new tool to any listener, you can check that out. It's a free app. Download it. It's very, very useful for school leaders. Suzanne, let me ask you this. You know, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself as a novice principal?
To be yourself. Don't try to do it like somebody else. You have to be true to who you are. I have worked under some wonderful principals. I'm not one of those principals who's had just a terrible principal that they worked under and that was their inspiration. I've had wonderful principals that I've worked under, but they've all been different and they're all different from me. And so the first year, I think I was really trying to do it in the way that my predecessors had done it. And I realized at the end of that first year that this was not really reflective of who I am. And there are aspects of my personality that were different and in some ways more playful or creative and not, you know, as I said, they were wonderful principals, but I needed a little more joy in the halls and a little more fun. And so I just started being a little more myself. And so I think if I had to give advice to a novice principal, I would say be true to who you are. Someone told me a long time ago, it's not about what you're doing, it's about who you're being. And if you're not being yourself, it really doesn't matter what you do, it's going to come across false or inauthentic. So I would say to be true to yourself and find your own leadership path that fits your personality.
Yeah, I love that. Be true to yourself or risk coming across false. That's so, so true. Yeah, I forgot to ask, got lost in my questions, but I remember recently with PD, you had your teachers kinesthetically walking around and learning and being able to have some choice over how they interacted with professional development. So can you tell us the story of that?
Yes, I love podcasts, and I have really enjoyed listening to different podcasts about leadership, and then realized there were lots of podcasts out there, too, for teachers, and so I tried to figure out how can we get teachers to listen to podcasts. So instead of pulling one up and just playing one for them, we came up with the idea of doing a walk and learn. The idea actually came from another person on our leadership team's husband, who's an administrator, suggested the walk and learn. And that idea, so we did, we called it a walk and learn. I selected about 10 to 12 podcasts about various topics. Maybe some were, the unmotivated student or how to get boys hooked on books and different podcasts, and they could select which one they wanted. All I told them about that day's PD was to wear walking shoes, comfortable clothes, have their phone or device and earbuds, and I would tell them everything else when they got there. One of the things about creating whiles is also to build a little suspense and a little mystery in it. So they didn't know exactly what they were going to be doing, but they figured it was going to be a little bit outside of the box. So we got to school. I pulled up the podcast, told them to select whichever one seemed the most interesting and relevant to them. And then we headed out to the track behind our school, and we walked and listened to the podcast. So we got some staff wellness in there, got some fresh air and sunshine. It was a beautiful morning. Came back to the media center and did sort of a jigsaw activity where different people shared out about what they learned from their podcast. So I'm really hoping that we develop some podcast listeners through doing that. That was just this past week, and they really enjoyed it. It was fun to hear the ideas that they got. And 2/3 of the staff had never listened to a podcast before. So it really did expose people to a way to learn that's on demand. And they can find all kinds of topics that relate to them or that are of interest to them. So that was fun.
Yeah, that's how I got hooked. The same type of story, just getting introduced to them and the on demand aspect of it and being able to learn during a commute or a workout or, I hate chores. So washing the dishes, folding clothes, all that kind of stuff, the time gets redeemed because I'm learning and being entertained while doing that stuff. So love that approach. I mean, there's choice. There was the sort of the suspense and the mystery of like what's going to happen. You got the wellness and then the excitement too of sharing out and what people learned. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic what you did right there.
We had a lot of fun with it. It was fun. Anytime that you can create a little mystery around what you're doing, it always, adds a little element of surprise there that I think is important. It sort of reminds me a little bit of, Dave Burgess in Teach Like a Pirate is a lot about what you're doing with students and the mystery and the surprise impact of what they're doing there. And so I looked at it as bringing that to staff. And now staff is starting to do that with students too, which is kind of fun. They're starting to think about ways that they can wow their class. You can't give something you don't have. And so I think through the last few years of doing the wows, they're now thinking of some ways that they can wow students. Our first grade team turned a mobile unit that's not being used at our school right now into a bat cave. They got black paper and covered all the walls and created this bat cave, and all of them were different types of bats, and the students came into the bat cave. Yeah, it was crazy. Students came into the bat cave, and the bats would come out from behind the paper rocks and would talk about what kind of bat they were, and then the kids would move over to another section. So the kids were coming out going, oh, wow, which is exactly what you want. We had a second grade team transform the auditorium stage into a campground. They were doing a campground unit and realized that none of their kids had ever been camping. Well, you know, you need a little background knowledge for that. So they put out a call to the staff to help create a campground. We had people cutting down small trees in their yards and bringing them in and taping them to the auditorium aisle so that they would be walking through trees. They found an outdoor nature video that was playing on the big screen behind the closed stage curtains and, you know, pretend snakes and all kinds of things. And they got flashlights as they were coming in the auditorium, and they walked down through the trees and up to the back of the auditorium. And on the stage, when they came around the curtain, there was a campsite, and there were a couple of tents, and there was, you know, there were the camping cooking utensils, and someone had brought in a canoe with fishing rods and blue paper under it, so it looked like it was sitting on a lake. And we did s'mores in a crock pot for them and told stories, did a read aloud around the campfire. So, you know, again, kids just going, wow, this was so cool. Are we going to do this again? So people are looking for ways like that to wow their kids too. And I think that's a pretty cool offshoot of appreciating the staff, is that they're now giving that to the students.
Well, I'll tell you, you have definitely wowed me and the listeners. We're going to be heading into sort of the closing of the podcast with a couple easy questions, fun questions, and then I'm going to hit you with a couple hard ones.
Okay.
But let's start with the easy ones. What's one book every principal should read right now and why?
Oh, gosh, I read so much. That is a really hard question. I think every principal just needs to pick up a book and read. It's really important that you keep reading professionally. One of my first leadership books was The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. Anything by him is great. I also loved Crucial Conversations. I think it's really important for principals to have a lot of emotional intelligence, EQ, and so anything that's going to broaden your skill set in terms of working with people, I think is incredibly important.
What do you like to do for fun?
Well, I have a workshop. I love making things out of old wood and repurposing things, and I'm a do or die DIYer. I love doing projects. So for my 50th birthday, my husband got me a shop full of tools. So I try to use it as often as possible.
So when we meet in person, my goal is to defeat you in rock, paper, scissors. You have to be honest.
Scissors. I always throw scissors.
It's awesome. What message would you put on all school marquees across our nation if you could do that for one day?
We all belong here.
That's great. And last question, Suzanne, you did it. You're an incredible guest. You're building a school from the ground up. You're not limited by budget or resources. Your only limitation is your imagination. How would you build your dream school, and what would be your top three priorities?
My top three priorities would be people, people, people. It's all about the people in the building. It's all about the culture that you build. And so it would be hiring the very best people that I could hire. And even if they weren't the best people yet, had a teachable spirit and had a willingness to learn and grow and were passionate. It would be people, 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 because I think you can do anything with the right people.
Well, Suzanne, thank you for being a part of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Do you have any parting words of advice, and what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I am on Twitter at Suzanne Reads. I also have a Facebook account that people can find me, Suzanne Phillips Mitchell. And I am just so thrilled to have been here tonight. I do think that keeping your why in your heart at all times is incredibly important, and using that to recharge. It's a tough job, and it's a demanding job, but it's one of the most important ones in the world. And if you don't stay connected to why you're doing it, you will lose your way.
Well, Better Leaders, thank you for investing in yourself today by listening to this podcast. Remember that life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Go out there today and be a better leader. Today's podcast was brought to you by Daniel and Suzanne. Be better starting today by heading over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and type Suzanne in the search bar. The show notes page will pop up where you'll see highlights from today's episode and links to all the resources. Suzanne, thank you so much for sharing your leadership insights and helping the better leaders be better.
Thank you, Daniel. It was a pleasure.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Have you gotten value from today's show? Help me reach even more listeners by leaving a 5-star rating and review. Click the podcast artwork and press the Show Some Love link to leave an honest rating and review. A long, long time ago in a galaxy far away, patrons would sponsor artists to create something the patron valued. Would you consider becoming a patron of the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast? If you found this podcast valuable, if the show has pushed your thinking about leadership, and if you've benefited in any way, then I would be honored if you would become a sponsor. Sponsorship is easy. Head over to patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes to become a patron for as little as $1 a month. If you pledge 10 bucks a month, I'll send you one of my favorite leadership books every other month. That's patreon.com/better or click the link in the show notes. Do you have a question or need some leadership advice? I want to connect with you. I read every email, tweet, snap that's sent to me. Links are in the show notes to connect via email and social media. Better Leaders, Better Schools is a proud member of the Edu Podcast Network, podcast for educators, podcast by educators. You can listen to more great education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.